It's time for the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and our guest for today is Elliot Light, president of New Homes Nexus. And the topic is reinventing new home sales and marketing. But hey, if you're not interested in new home sales, don't change that dial there, because Elliot's going to talk to us about marketing's, well, I'm not going to give it all away, but I think what he has to say is equally interesting and equally beneficial regardless of the business that you're in. Well, if you're listening to the show live, then you're on octalkradio.net. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives, listen to some of our great past shows. Well, let's start in here. Our guest today, as I said, is Elliot Light, president of New Homes Nexus, and he's going to be talking about reinventing new home sales and marketing. Although he's talking about home buyers, it's not much of a stretch to apply this logic and process to buyers of almost any product or service. I want to just sort of start out by reading you a quote from an article that Elliot recently did, and I think it sort of sets the stage for this. And I quote, "As the recession of the past 5 years plus winds down, it's time to take stock of lessons learned and look ahead to the challenges of marketing to a new generation of buyers while learning to master the use of rapidly evolving social media tools. Today's buyers are more diverse, more tech savvy, and harder to please than ever before. But before we rush head on into the future, let's take a minute to consider the effects the Great Recession has had on consumers and how it has changed their perspective of, and in Elliot's words, housing, in my words, perspective of buying. I think it applies to everything we do, services and products." Well, I'm particularly pleased to have Elliot with us today. Elliot and I go way back. We worked together back in the 1980s. I'm embarrassed to throw that number out. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, it's great to have you here today. How's your day going?
It's going great.
Well, I have the feeling that your days are always going great.
Some are better than others.
See, you've got that right. Well, look, let's dive right in. Tell the audience what you did before what you're doing now.
Well, I basically have had two careers. I think as people go through life, you end up with different careers, and I'm not quite sure anybody has the career that they thought coming out of school that they were always going to have. But I've got two. My first career was a sales career. I started selling new homes for a home builder and started in the sales department. And from sales online, I went to sales management. And then from sales management, actually into sales training. So that was my first career. And then my second career involves marketing and advertising. I was president and past owner of L&A Marketing and Advertising. We were one of the top 25 ad agencies in Orange County. Unfortunately, we had to close our doors in April of 2010. But over those couple decades, I've learned a lot and was involved in a lot of marketing, advertising, lead generation. So what I've decided to do is I took those two careers and I've combined both of them together and form New Home Nexus.
Okay, great. So explain to us briefly what your company does. What does New Home Nexus do, services and products that it produces, and so forth? Give us the thumbnail sketch there.
Well, we're a complete new home sales, marketing, and advertising company. We're based in Irvine, handle clients throughout Southern California. And basically, we're set up to deal with and our target market. It's really small home builders, builders who don't want to take on the overhead and the expense of having their own sales and marketing department. So we kind of fill that need for them. And then along with that, instead of having to go out and then hire an ad agency to supplement or to do the graphics, we have folded that into our services. So not only do we do the marketing and the sales, but we also produce the logos and the brochures and the websites and all the collateral material that goes along with the marketing and sales of the new home community.
Okay, and we're going to talk a lot more about that. I have some questions about it, but before we get to it, let me ask you the standard question that we ask every guest that I can hardly wait for the answer. I never know ahead of time. What particular experience did you have in your life that sort of gave you your key lesson that has become your guiding principle in how you live, how you do your business?
Boy, that's a great question. I guess I'd go off of the one that you try to create a great product, you try to create a great service, and at the end of the day, if you've done your work right, you're going to get your customers coming back to you time and time again. And I guess that's kind of treat others and do unto others as you wish them to do unto you.
And what's been your experience with that? Does it work?
You know, it does. I guess one of the things, though, that I've learned going through the last recession is that not all business models work in all economic environments, and that you might have a great business model that works in one environment, but when economic times change, it doesn't mean your model will continue to work. There's a quote that I like, and it's it's from the Kenny Rogers song. You have to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
That should be printed on the headstone for every builder in the world.
Yeah, I think so.
Elliot, let me sort of go off script here and ask you, when you talk about business model, you know, I was talking about business model with somebody the other day, and they all of a sudden stopped me and they said, "What do you mean business model? What are you talking about? What how do you define business model?"
It's kind of your business plan. It's has to do with the product and the service that you're marketing. And some products and services do well in certain environments and others don't. So I take the business model, and if we're talking about home building, it's kind of the foundation of any business. And it usually starts with somebody having an idea or an invention, and then you have to figure out, is it going to work and can you make money in the environment that you're in? And then you build a model or a plan using that foundation to generate your revenue.
So give me an example with your new business here, with New Homes Next Business, Nexus. How is your business model different from, let's say, the traditional business model of people providing those services?
Well, we changed it because we folded advertising into it. So that's one of the things that differentiates us is the fact that we do it all and control it all. There's one less subcontractor, and we can actually bundle the services together, and we can be more efficient as far as turnaround times, and we can be more efficient in cost by bundling. So I guess that's one way that we're different. The other way that we're different is that we've embraced technology, and we use technology more than I think some of our competitors do. And the technology we use is on the marketing side more than the sales side. It's how we generate our leads. We've put together a program that we call Nexus 200, which helps us by following this program to generate additional leads through social media, through working in the neighborhood, through a number of sources. So we try to generate additional leads. And then we don't believe that one marketing message fits all. So we've come up with a customer relation management, a CRM system, and we communicate with prospective buyers, but we send them different messages depending on their family, their lifestyle, and what it is that they're looking for. So we try to customize the approach for our clients, and we try to customize the message going out to the consumer.
So would it be fair or would it be correct to say that there, you're placing more emphasis on the front-end marketing than really on the sales end of the business?
Yeah, one of the things that, from my experience, is the sales part is important, and you need really well-trained, you need great salespeople, but it really is a marketing challenge. And the marketing challenge is to be sure that the right product's developed, that the salespeople understand the market that they're in, and that you create buzz and interest in the product that you're selling. So I really see it more, I see the challenging part more on the marketing side and the lead generation side than I really do on the sales side.
You know, when you and I talked prior to the show, one of the things and one of the prime reasons that I really was so anxious to get you on the show was the fact that your service is really geared to small builders. And typically small builders or small projects have difficulty getting the consumer's attention. And I sort of liken this to the problem that almost any small business has, is they don't have the resources. They don't have the brick and mortar store in the main shopping mall. So how do I get to those people? How do I find who's interested in my product, and how do I present messages? And that's what I was really, really curious about you talking a little bit more about that today.
Okay. The nice thing about social media or inbound marketing is that it's fairly inexpensive to do. Sometimes it looks a little bit scarier than it really is, but by, putting up a website, doing a good job in search engine optimization, you can actually drive traffic, and you can drive clients to you online. You can advertise your services in a number of different ways, both online and through things like direct mail or print. You can drive people to your website. You can use video in your website to help get your messages across. There's a lot of tools out there that can be used and implemented that really help reduce the cost of marketing and advertising. It used to be that you'd spend $10,000 for a half-page ad in the Los Angeles Times that ran once. Well, today you can put up a really nice website for a couple thousand dollars, and it works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
But, there's where so many of us have really gotten off on the wrong track, so that we bought into the statement that we need a website. I mean, that's such a given today. It would be like saying, I don't need business cards. You automatically have to have a website. Huge differences in qualities of them, but then what I hear you saying is you have to drive people to the website. And that's a short sentence, but it's a huge statement.
Right. You not only have to drive them there, but to be successful, you have to have content that keeps them coming back to your website. So unlike doing a website that would be like a brochure that would be static, we recommend that our clients, and we put up, websites for people, and the content changes. So, whether it's your special of the week or a new product that you're launching or more detailed information on how to use your product or different ways your product can be used, we like the content. They call it rich content, and we like the content to be rich. We like the content to change. We want to give people a reason to come back to the site. The other thing that becomes really important, and that is, for people to be able to find the site on search engines like Google and Bing and Yahoo, and it's kind of a whole science unto itself, but that's another key component in having a successful online campaign.
And do you actually, when you do this for a client, do you actually track the return visits in some way?
Oh, yeah.
The website?
The real nice thing about technology You can find out how many visitors are coming for the first time. You can find out how many repeat visitors you have. You can find out how long they spend on a page, which pages they spend the most amount of time. Are they clicking on other links that you have on the site? You can find out what days you get the most amount of traffic, what hours you get the most amount of traffic. If you're running a special and you're doing, let's say, direct mail or print ad or radio, and you want people to go to your website, you can actually track how many people are going to the website and get counts, and it's just all real time and it's all instant. Yeah, there's a lot of great reporting and a lot of great statistics that really help you evaluate the effectiveness of your program.
And again, I'm assuming, you know, the old adage that you used to be sort of standard was you had to touch a customer 6 or 7 times before they really became interested and became a qualified prospect, or you could make a sale to them. I'm assuming you're kind of playing off that same sort of logic in the desire to get people to return to the website.
Yeah, and I think that number varies. I mean, some products that you sell have a longer sales period, and you know, there's more what I would call romance involved, and then there's other ones that have a shorter sales cycle. So you might only need to touch them 1 or 2 times. In home building, a lot of times it depends. We like to start the process when the builder starts construction on the site. And that's when we like to launch the website. And depending on that sales, that construction cycle, it could be anywhere from 4 months. In some of the high-rises in some of these projects, it could actually even be 2 or 3 years. And, again, you want to engage these people. You want to give them a reason to keep coming back. You want to let them know that that they're important to the success of your project.
So I don't know if there's a rule of thumb. So, I mean, I you're hitting on something that I really don't hear a lot of people talking about when they talk about their websites. They talk about designing a website as if it is a task that has a beginning and end, and then I'm through and it can sit there for the next 2 years and do whatever it's supposed to do. But what I'm hearing you talk about is really pushing this idea that the content is constantly changing so that the potential buyer can keep coming back and getting refreshed or intrigued or more committed. How frequent do you think you have to change information on a website?
You know, on our own website, we change it at least weekly.
Whoa, weekly?
Yeah. And, you know, actually today with the technology the way it is, it's just you write something, you change a photo, and it's just, you know, drop and click, and away you go, and it's not difficult to do at all. But again, you want to give somebody a reason to keep coming back. You want to be a resource for those people. And when, no matter if it's, you know, Joe's Plumbing Service, or if you're building houses or developing widgets or whatever it is, when somebody goes online and they want to search for, you know, widgets in Orange County, you want to be sure that you're, you know, at the top of that Google page. And in order to be able to do that, you need to keep the content fresh, because that's one of the keys that Google uses to rank people in different categories.
So, you know, even on a very basic level, I'm assuming this is almost the same sort of thing people do when I see constantly in Facebook or LinkedIn people changing their photo. It's like I could care less that you changed your photo, but I keep getting reminded of them and reminded of their site because I get noticed that they've changed something.
Right.
Sort of the same concept?
Yeah, it's kind of the same concept. You know, Okay. Actually, what websites remind me of, well, if you've been around as long as we have, actually, I remember people doing Yellow Page advertising. And a lot of businesses, especially service companies, lived and died off of Yellow Page advertising. And Yellow Page advertising was based on the alphabet. So you had AAA Abel's Plumbing. And then the next guy was AAAA Ajax Plumbing. And there was this whole strategy of getting to the front on the category in the yellow pages. Well, Google, if you think of Google as, or Yahoo or Bing, basically is the new yellow pages. So when you do a search, you want your company to be one of the first ones that show up on that search page, just like you wanted your company to be one of the first that shows up when you advertised in the yellow pages. So one of the keys to do that is to keep your content fresh.
So tell me a little bit, you know, sort of a broad question, but marketing homes today, different than before the downturn? Because I think you're talking about a topic that I don't hear enough conversation about. I personally believe that the consumer is very different today than he was pre-2008, and that we have to change the way we deal with them. So in your business, how is marketing different, and how are the consumers different?
Well, the consumers are different because it's a different generation, actually. That's, you know, the buyers today aren't the, well, they're still the baby boomers. It's still a portion of the market. But more and more, the buyers today are the Generation X's and the Generation Y's. You know, there are kids that are out in the marketplace buying houses. And they don't read newspapers the way we used to read newspapers. Their habits are different. They're connected to the Internet on a continual basis. They're online all the time. And, you know, you have to adapt your marketing and your advertising to the way the consumer shops. And I think sometimes home builders especially are a little bit slow to really embrace technology and to really change the way they do things. So you still have the traditional sales office. You still have your traditional open house signs. But again, the way you communicate with prospects, the way you initially approach a prospect, the type of relationship that you develop, it's a lot different than it was in the past. And again, it's due to changing habits that the buyers have, selling to a different generation, and then the huge leaps that we've had in technology.
Now you're talking about a business-to-consumer kind of model. What would you say that in a business-to-business we have the same sort of thing going on?
I think business-to-business is a little bit different. Business to consumer is more, social media works better. Business to business, social media is not quite as effective. You know, business to business, at least from what I found out, a lot of it still has to do with networking. It still has to do with contacts that you have. It has to do with relationships, where business to consumer is more about creating buzz, creating awareness for a product. So I think there's differences in that in those two different arenas.
And you're primarily, we're talking today primarily business to consumer.
Right.
Okay. All right. And you're saying that the consumer is different. One, there's a different generation. That's sort of maybe a unique thing for the home building business. But don't you also think that sort of cross generations, we've got consumers with a different attitude about buying than they had pre-2008.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, it's kind of like small is in, or small is now the new big idea. And we see that, you know, I don't think you're going to see, you know, McMansions being built as we did before. The size of homes are definitely smaller. People are looking for better design. They're looking for more energy-efficient homes. Builders are building smaller communities. Instead of building 100 homes or 200 homes at a time, they're, you know, same people are building, you know, 8 houses, 10 houses, 20 houses. So, you know, things are smaller. And actually, if you take a look at the auto industry, you know, the same thing is happening with cars. One of the fastest-selling line of cars are actually compact SUVs instead of full-size SUVs. And then you've got cars like the Mini Cooper and the new Ford C-Max. So, you know, just as cars are getting smaller and more energy efficient, it's kind of being followed you see that same trend in the housing industry.
So from your observation, the consumer today is different, maybe in that smaller is better, maybe more conscious of energy. What kind of other things do you think are sort of cross-product or cross-service?
Well, they're no longer willing to drive 2 hours to buy a house. So we see more urban infill, and we see people moving closer to their jobs. And we also see transportation-oriented communities and neighborhoods starting to pop up and be redeveloped along, you know, in L.A., along the Gold Line and along the different transportation corridors.
So share with our audience a little bit the unique problems that a builder faces, that your firm faces in working with them, when you're dealing with an small infill site in an urban area. How is this different than sort of traditional building out on the edge of development kind of model?
Well, the challenge, they face a couple challenges. One is when you're building in a large subdivision, you're building more units, so the cost of decorating models, the cost of advertising, you've got more dollars to do things with. So we have to come up with creative ways of being able to show off your models without having to buy a house full of furniture or spend $50,000 to $100,000 furnishing or designing, having a house designed. It's harder to find. For instance, if you're in a master plan community, people automatically know if they drive there, they're going to see new home inventory. Some of these infill communities are on side streets. They're very difficult to find. They don't have a great marketing window. So, again, being able to generate the traffic, the interest in those communities is a lot more difficult.
And it's more difficult, and the solution to doing that, what I'm hearing you say, if I'm hearing it right, one of the ways is utilizing social media, utilizing the Internet to really fix those problems, to drive
correct.
People, to give them information, make them aware. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Once you've kind of got them, you mentioned, and I'm kind of curious about know more about this, that you sort of sift them into different baskets as consumers, and sort of tailor your message to them, to individual groups or subgroups. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. We use the website kind of as the hub or the collection point. So we put out the information. We drive the traffic to the website. When somebody gets to the website, then they fill out I would like more information. They give us their web address, their email address. And we start communicating with them. One of the things that we try to find out early on is who it is that we're communicating with, what type of house they're looking for, do they have a home to sell, do they have kids, what their ages are. And then what we do is we put them into our CRM system. And then on a regular basis, we start sending them information. So, for instance, if they're older empty nesters, they really probably don't care what's going on at the local elementary school, and they're more interested in the local theater group, restaurant reviews, and things like that. So when we send them out information about the homes that are being built, we then also send them out information about things in the neighborhood and in the area that they'll be interested with. And then, for instance, the people with kids, you know, they get the information about the new computer lab that's going into the new elementary school down the street. So we try to tailor the information that we send and make it relevant to the people that we're sending it to.
Yeah, one of the things that question that comes up for me is when you get this, let's say this Internet interest, somebody's come to your website, you've identified what group of consumers they're in, and you're going to now start them in some sort of CRM program of sending them regular information. How quickly, or do you make an attempt to sort of qualify and kick them out so you're not spending time with them? Or do you feel that's way down the road, and you sort of service everybody at an equal level as if they're all interested.
Well, no, you actually would rate them. So you try to find out on the real estate side, for instance, if they have a home to sell, what size home, and is the size of the home they're looking for match the houses that you're selling? So you try to gather as much information as possible. And then the nice thing about the CRM system is you can actually rate them and kind of slice and dice everything together so that you spend more time talking to the qualified people and less time talking to the people that might not be as qualified. You don't want to discard the ones that aren't as qualified because they might be great potential prospects for your next development, your next phase, or something else that you might have coming up.
So you're taking a long-term approach to these prospects in that while you do some sort of rating on them, doesn't sound like you're real quick to just throw them out of the barrel. You're still going to play with them, although on a smaller scale. Is that
right.
Correct?
Right. And today, the cost of playing with them or keeping them on the list is really minimal. So, you know, that's the other great thing about technology is that it doesn't cost a lot to prospect to a large list of people.
And you know, this really intrigues me because while I'm obviously interested in the home building business, I spent enough years in it, as you know, but I think this has cross-business implications that regardless of what business or what service we're providing, this idea of driving as many people in, sorting them down as to how do I tailor a message, although it's not an individually tailored message, it's a group tailored message. How do I tailor that message? And then how do I rank in terms of how often I'm going to be in touch with them and what I'm going to do with them? And then setting up an automatic system to keep doing this. That's what I hear you really pushing here is sort of the key to using social media to your marketing.
Right, and the research has shown that the more customized the message is, the better your response rate's going to be. So, you know, again, if you can customize that message, send the prospect information that's relevant to them, you're going to have a better chance of developing that relationship and making that sale.
So along those lines, who's the ideal client for your business?
We're looking for the smaller builders and developers, the ones that don't want to take on the overhead of having their own sales and marketing department. And so we're looking for those types of clients, and we're also looking for clients that understand that there's a new technology out there, there's a new way of doing things, and that are open to some kind of fresh ideas and to make some changes.
And would you say that the cost for your service using this method is equal to, greater or less than sort of the traditional methods that have been used in the building industry?
Good question. I think that they're going to find that the costs are going to be either the same or less. One of the things that builders do is they usually base it on a percentage basis. So the cost is a percentage of total revenue. When you're doing smaller projects, though, I'm not quite sure you can use that same percentage of revenue when you're putting together your budgets. So I think the total dollar amount per house might be less, but the percentage of revenue might be a little bit greater.
I've been meaning to ask you this, and somehow we got so sidetracked I forgot to ask you. How did you come up with the name for your company, and what does it mean?
Well, I wanted to come up with a name it means New Home Nexus is linking buyers with builders, which is the tagline that we use with New Home Nexus. And basically, we take a consumer-centric approach and really believe that if we can help the builder understand the market, what product needs to be built, we understand who the consumer is, that it really isn't the sale as we know sales. It's more of a linking or an introduction, and it's just kind of a different way of looking at the process.
Anything else that I haven't asked you about that you want to share with our audience?
You know, I think the only thing, you know, at the end of the day, our goal with our clients, and that is we want to save them both time and we would like to save them money. I mean, those are the two things that we never have enough of. And I think that by having a plan that's customized, and we customize each one of our marketing plans based on the client, the location, the product, the size of the community, and then we also customize the messages that go out. So we believe that by that customization and by having a real robust lead generation system, that we're going to be able to generate more prospects for our clients over a shorter period of time. And then by doing that, we should be able to increase their sales rate. If we increase the sales rate, that's going to shorten the sales period, and it's going to save the client in carry costs, and that's a number that goes right down to their bottom line.
Great. You know, I did want to just sort of touch for a minute. You had sent me a paper that you wrote called The New Rules of New Home Marketing, and you laid out a few bullet points that I thought were really, really noteworthy that, you know, all of us as homeowners are kind of interested in, or future homeowners. You mentioned one: houses are homes. They're not piggy banks or retirement funds.
Yeah, I think we all learned that lesson.
And how's that going to, and how do you feel that's going to change behavior?
I think you're going to see people living in houses longer. You know, the idea used to be that you would, you know, buy a house, and as soon as you could qualify for the next size up or the more expensive home, you went and did it. And then you kept moving up and up and up. And I think that, you know, people now see a house as more permanent. And I think instead of moving every 4 or 5 years, you're going to see that time period lengthen. People aren't going to be buying homes for the investment value. They're going to be buying homes because of where they want to live and where they want to raise their family.
And what does this mean to the builder in the design of his homes or his communities? Does this have any impact?
Well, I think the design of the houses and you know, some of the things that we saw and that we've come across, especially for that article, you know, things like walk-in closets, things like storage space, things like, you know, things that builders never really spent a lot of time thinking about, have now become important to people. So again, they don't want larger houses. They want homes that are better designed. They want homes that function better, and houses that use less energy.
Okay. You had another bullet point in that article that was consumers are jumping online in record numbers. Now, we've kind of talked about that, but was there anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, you just might be a little surprised, but you know, the last number I saw, which came from the National Association of Home Builders study, that 91% of home buyers somewhere in the search for their new home will go online to do research or to look at product. And that's just, I mean, that number is just huge.
You know, I just to sort of back that up, I was reading an article about Amazon, and it was talking about the importance of the reviews of products on Amazon. And it was making the comment that people are going to Amazon not only just to see what price the product is, but to get research information by reading the reviews of the book or the TV or whatever it is they're looking at buying. Mm-hmm. I guess they're not selling new homes yet on Amazon, but it could be there.
Yeah. Someday.
You also mentioned qualified buyers continue to ask for discounts. Is this a sign of what we've just gone through?
Yeah, it is. And I think as the demand for housing goes up, hopefully that might lessen or go away. But, who doesn't want to make sure we're getting a good deal, no matter if we're buying, furniture or a house or a car or, making any major investment.
Okay. Just as a side, I saw an article today just published, and it said that Orange County home listings are near a 9-year low, talking about the lack of inventory of homes for sale in Orange County. That sort of jive with what you're seeing?
Yeah, it is. What I've heard or what I've seen is on a nationwide basis, there hasn't been this few homes on the market since 1997, I think they said.
Yeah. And along with that, there was an article in the in one of the builder publications saying that the we're at a low of starts in new housing, but not because there isn't a market, but because the builders are unable to find lots ready to go, zoned or finished lots or whatever they need, and that there is no backlog of available land ready to move quick enough to meet the demand that's already there. Does that jibe with what you're experiencing?
Yeah, it is. Most builders haven't built anything in the last 6 or 7 years, so it's created this huge shortage.
Elliot, how does someone get in touch with you or learn more about your firm? I mean, this has been fascinating information. I think you've got an interesting target market that definitely has challenges. And how do these builders or people find you?
The easiest way is through our website. So it's www.newhomenexus.com, and they will also find us on LinkedIn or on Twitter.
Okay, great. Elliot, thank you very much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you as always. And like I say, it's a conversation around new homes, but I think so much of what you're talking about is really information for all of us who sell anything to anybody need to be aware of.
Yeah. Great. Well, I appreciate it, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Great. Have a great evening.
Okay. Bye now.
Well, we've been listening to Elliot Light, president of Nexus, or president of New Homes Nexus, and giving you some great insights into some of the challenges that builders and that home buyers are facing as we come out of this downturn in the economy. And behind that is really a message that he's delivering very strongly about the use of the internet today by those of us providing services, because the consumers have jumped on the bandwagon and they're using it, so we better make sure we're there. Kind of my takeaway, the big aha moment for me today was, the fact that the website needs to be updated constantly, as Elliot was saying, weekly, on a weekly basis, that drive people to keep coming back to your site, recognizing that one visit doesn't necessarily make a sale. Information to think about and information to use. Well, look, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that you missed a great meeting last week for the Orange County chapter of the International Coaching Federation. Naheed Kazaz was moderating and talking about how to handle information overload. A lot of really good information there, and I don't want to overload you with it, but hey, you can get a lot of what she talked about by going to our website and looking up our radio show for last week. She was our guest last week and talked about it. Also, you might want to mark your calendars for the coming meeting for the ICF Orange County chapter and listen to that. There's information on our newsletter there. I can see I got the date wrong, but hey, everything else is right. It is the second Thursday of the month, so whatever that is in April, you can look it up. This is Doug Gefellert, thanking you for joining us today on the Coaching Perspective Radio Show, hoping that we've provided you with new and interesting information that you can use immediately to apply to your business to be more successful. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.